Welcome to the Mojo for Musicians podcast from Manny Cabo Media, where we dig deep into today's top strategies to help you take your music career to the next level with real, raw, and uplifting conversations with industry professionals that are making moves, making a difference, and making the best versions of themselves to inspire you to do the same. What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Manny Cabo, and welcome to another episode of Mojo for Musicians. All right, welcome back, my beautiful Mojo Maniacs. Thank you so much for joining me on yet another episode of Mojo for Musicians, the ultimate source of inspiration for my fellow artists in this ever-changing and crazy world that we call the entertainment industry. I'm your host, Manny Cabo, and man, I have to say, I certainly have a blast on all of my interviews, but this one in particular is a special one for me because my guest today is totally responsible for me launching this podcast for the purpose of inspiring and guiding, educating, you name it, and essentially helping artists achieve their desired level of success. And I personally chose this platform because, well, you know, let's face it, I've used my voice my whole life to entertain audiences, and now utilizing this platform of podcasting to do just that, but also to add value, to help enrich the lives of my fellow artists, especially during these difficult times, even for myself, because it's been a huge wave of losses and hardships from my wages to canceled tours, and above all, losing my dad to COVID. But through podcasting, I've been able to speak to the masses about my struggles, as well as my successes. But being completely transparent, just to let you all know that you're not alone. So I'm beyond grateful for this beautiful platform we call podcasting, and above all, grateful for my guest today for providing the impetus needed to embark on this incredible journey with all of you. Now, I am beyond excited for today's episode because it discusses one of my favorite topics, which is indispensable and certainly at the summit of importance for growing in any industry, but specifically the entertainment industry, of course, and that is networking. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited, because my guest today has literally made a career out of creating relationships and teaching how to build those relationships, more importantly. But before I bring him on, I want to discuss my favorite tips that have certainly come to my aid in building my own network of robust contacts in this crazy industry throughout the course of my career, and how I still continue to build my skills of engagement, even at the precipice of uncertainty and scarcity of music opportunities. The only caveat here is that in order to succeed at the networking game, there has to be a definitive level of consistency and commitment to the skill, because it's not an overnight thing. And I can tell you with certainty, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And as long as you understand that, then let's get started. Now, for me, the top three reasons why musicians need to network is pretty obvious, or at least has been very obvious in my career, which are: one, let people know you exist to eventually become either a resource or an authority or influencer. Number two, build your network of business contacts and fans. And three, sustaining your career as an artist. Now, one thing I've learned above all is that we are all, and I'm saying all, totally inclusive, involved in at least one or more social situations, usually on a day-to-day basis, unless, of course, you live under a rock or you're completely a hermit, which I doubt, especially if you want to be successful in this career. In other words, we as musicians always have to think as marketers and always be selling who we are. And I don't care if it's at a party, supermarket, picking up your kids at school, at the gym, wherever. These are all situations that can yield potential fans. Now, of course, COVID has certainly put restrictions on the accessibility from an in-person point. But the world of social media is a very powerful tool if you manage it and learn how to leverage it properly. Now, these are my six favorite, that's right, six favorite Manny juicy mojo tips that have guided me over the last, wow, 15 years. That's a long time. 15-year career as both a singer, photographer, and now a podcaster. And I know you'll certainly get some value out of these. And please, guys, I'd love to hear from you. Let me know which is your favorite, and also share your own with me if you feel that I left something majorly important out, because at the end of the day, I learn from everybody. So tip number one is one that my dad instilled in me at a very young age, which is mastering your craft in order to build your identity and above all, your confidence. So tip number one is one that my dad instilled in me at a very young age, which is mastering your craft in order to build your identity and above all, your confidence. I always use the analogy of performing a song. So for me, in order to kill a performance, the due diligence of understanding the lyrics, memorizing those lyrics inside out, upside down, sideways till next Tuesday is of the utmost importance. For what reason? So I can focus on the one thing that means the most, which is my performance. And if I do all this work prior, then you minimize the fear factor because you have all the confidence in the world to deliver the message flawlessly. And more importantly, in your own style. And the same goes with building your confidence as a brand because you want people to understand you and what your message is all about. And more importantly, when someone asks you, all right, Manny, what do you do? You should feel completely comfortable in your delivery without any hesitation. And that's called confidence. Now, let's not mince words here, guys. I'm not missing it with conceit because being arrogant is just bragging and nobody likes a bragger. So just be chill and assertive because people appreciate a confident individual who has taken the time to understand who they are as an individual and understand their purpose. Not to mention, it's extremely important that we understand who we truly are and what message we have to offer this world. And I've learned that for me, it's the most difficult times that have defined who I am and have shown me how resourceful I can be and who I've become, most importantly. Tip number two. So as I alluded to earlier, which is you have to let people know you exist, right? Which means what? At some point, you have to introduce yourself to the audience that aligns with you. Your message, your style, or genre. These are the elements that define who you truly are. And it doesn't matter whether it's a mixer or a Facebook group or whatever. You have to introduce your brand or else you're going to continually be like the tree that falls in the woods that nobody hears. I love using that analogy because it just resonates with people. In other words, like what's the point in investing in yourself, your clothing, your equipment, paraphernalia, the list goes on, if you're not willing to show the world you exist? It just doesn't make any sense. So definitely, guys, if you take your career seriously, then get out there and introduce yourself to the world. Because like I always say, we all have something unique and valuable to offer this world. And quite frankly, you're doing an injustice to the planet when you refrain yourself from sharing that gift. And that's not to put pressure on you. That's just to let you know to be excited about your passion. Don't be afraid to unleash it. Now, number three has certainly helped me out early on in my career, and I continue to build what I call the escrow of great karma, because I always find time in sharing unconditional value in any capacity, and I don't care if it's helping somebody better their skill, sharing a piece of advice from my own personal experiences, or even helping them with groceries. For me, giving unconditionally has always paid huge dividends. And my dad always used to tell me, when you do something for someone, you do it with love and do it unconditionally, unless, of course, it's contractual. But being kind and offering your services without expecting anything back has landed me some incredible friendships in the industry, or even opportunities, endorsements, and yes, the big M word, monetization. One thing that I learned from one of my favorite mentors, Tony Robbins, who said, the time you give the most is when you have the least amount to give. And I'm like, what? That never made any sense to me early on. But as the years elapsed, it made all the sense in the world, especially this last year where the loss of my wages hit myself and my family very hard. But I still managed to donate, even if it was a very minimal amount, to some of my favorite causes. And I'm not just talking financially. And miraculously, every month, I realize I've been able to keep a roof over my head, you know, feed my family, grow my podcast and my career as an artist. So definitely learn to give unconditionally because wonderful things happen and miracles do happen. One of my favorite catchphrases that I teach kids when I speak in schools is forget about being perfect. Just be passionate about what you love. You know, stop being concerned with people not liking you or misinterpreting you or even rejecting you. That's not your problem. If anything, that's them projecting their insecurities on you.
embrace the failures, because that's part of the process. And quite frankly, if you're not failing, then you're not succeeding, because you're not distinguishing what truly works and what doesn't. And I truly believe that you have to do something that you're passionate about in the first place. If not, the tendency to quit will always be lingering. So make sure that whatever your pursuit is, that you have unwavering and feverish faith and passion for it. Because when you're passionate about something, nothing will deter you or derail you from your path. And again, guys, believe me when I tell you, you will succeed, because passion, in my opinion, and I can honestly say that I'm confident enough to say this is a blanket statement, passion is a precursor and the byproduct of success. Now, tip number 5 is definitely a trait that has definitely branded me and sometimes may not be easy for everyone, which is to learn how to always be on stage as a presenter or a host, if you will. And I know many of you out there are probably thinking, well, Manny, that's not me. I'm a little too introverted or shy, or I don't know if I could do that. But here's the reality of the situation, guys, and listen up. And I hate to tell you, if you're in the entertainment industry and you have a fear of introducing yourselves as a curator of your brand at an event or what have you, then someone else is going to beat you to it and take that opportunity, because that's essentially the mentality that you have to have everywhere you go. Why? Because remember, you're always in the role of a presenter or the ambassador of your company or your brand or your corporation. And again, you are your brand. And I have to stress that. You are your brand. And like I mentioned in step number 1, let people know that you exist and let people know why they should work with you, that they would be at a loss not to work with you. But of course, I know that won't be a problem for you guys anymore. After reading my tip on self-confidence, you won't have that problem, right? Right. And lastly, my favorite tip and another big one, both my parents combined instilled in me at a young age, was to be kind, guys, and make sure that you treat people the way that you would like to be treated. Because first of all, it doesn't cost you anything. And second of all, you don't want to be remembered as a self-centered douche, you know, especially in the music industry that may have worked miracles back in the 60s and 70s or even 80s, but not anymore. Nobody has time for that. And I can tell you how many times I've seen relationships crumble and conversely grow into dominating empires because of someone's ability or inability to be kind. Now, by no stretch of the imagination am I the best at anything. But I will tell you this, I will always be the best version of myself. And that alone has been a huge ROI in every capacity of my artistry and connections, evidenced by the fact that at 51, I'm still crushing it in the industry and continually growing. Not only my talent, but my network of incredible professionals, guests, musicians. You see where I'm going with this, guys? And you can do this too. In other words, don't be a dick. You know, with a capital D. And you would think this would be common sense, but apparently common sense is not common knowledge, especially in this industry. So get rid of that ego and chip off your shoulder and just learn to treat people in a caring manner and stay humble. All right, guys. So I hope those 6 tips help you understand what's needed to really leverage and truly maximize your networking capabilities. And I can't tell you how excited I am right now, because when we come back, my next guest is the epitome and poster boy of what mastering the art of networking is all about. So stick around. Trust me, you don't want to miss this one, especially if you're a musician. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mojo for Musicians podcast. To learn more about becoming a guest on the show to share your mojo with us, visit MannyCabo.com and send us an email in the contact section. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you like what you hear, be sure to give us a positive review on your favorite listening platform. And now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back, Mojo Maniacs. And when I tell you I have a treat for you, it is beyond an understatement and certainly an honor for me, especially when you get to interview your mentors, because not only has Travis been an integral force behind my Mojo for Musicians campaign, and a successful one at that, because in less than 2 months, we're already at the top 2% best music interview podcasts globally because of all the tools and guidance that I learned from Travis. But his passion to inspire and build meaningful relationships has also changed the lives of millions globally, especially all those looking to establish a brand for themselves with his networking curriculum. And trust me, it's not just me saying that. You know, his practices have been endorsed by some of the greats out there, including Jack Canfield. You might remember him from The Secret, another incredible motivator, former actress, now 10-time mastermind authority, Elena Cardone. Also, wife of one of the top sales and marketing trainers in the world, Grant Cardone, and the list goes on. He's been featured in Forbes, NASDAQ, Bigger Pockets, and recently, which makes me even more honored to have him on the show, his podcast, Building Your Network with Travis Chappelle, that has over, check this, over 200 episodes, man, was inducted in the Forbes Top 10 Podcasts That Will Change Your Life. And man, he is an epic company with guys like Gary Vee, Rachel Hulse, Joe Rogan, Tim Bailey, which, by the way, are the people you definitely want to emulate if you want to have a successful podcast. And he's also the founder of Guestio, which I absolutely love, which is an all-in-one tool that helps we podcasters grow our audiences through finding bookings and, you know, managing and guests and so on and so forth. So without further ado, let's introduce the guy who needs no introduction, but too late. I did it anyway because it warrants it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to the show a mentor, a friend, a networking guru, my boy, Travis Chappelle. What's up, Travis? And welcome to Mojos for Musicians, my friend.
Hey, what's up, brother? Appreciate the awesome introduction. Man, I'm real fired up about myself.
Well, you should be, bro, because let me tell you, me, along with every other podcaster and individual out there looking to build their brand, has definitely benefited from your words of wisdom. And dude, I have to thank you and, of course, your amazing assistant, Joanna, for squeezing me in your what I believe must be an insane itinerary on a daily basis, I'm sure. And seriously, man, it's certainly a pleasure and honor to have you on here.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And thanks so much for making the time. I know it's the whole workflow of bringing guests on your show. And so I appreciate you reaching out and getting this booked.
This is what I know you're used to. So I certainly want to honor your time. And man, I could sit here and talk to you all day because I have so many questions, but I narrowed it down to just a few of the most strategic things that I would like to address. Because for me, networking has been a summit of my ambition. And of course, my successes throughout the years, especially in the entertainment industry. And one thing that resonated with me was your classification of the two types of individuals in the networking room, which are the ones that believe that they're networking correctly. And also the other ones that completely negate the principle of networking altogether. And I've actually encountered both of them on a personal level. And believe me, I have diligently worked very, very hard to not fall in either category. And of course, you've made a successful career out of addressing these topics. And for an independent artist, or even the more well-established artist, we all know that your network is your net worth. And I just want to address the elephant in the room that it must be a prominent and an important element to build your following, you know, whether it's in person or on a cyber level. And I know you certainly can attest to that, evidenced by your 200 plus episodes on this topic. Am I right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And we need to update the website information because we're actually almost at 600 episodes.
Oh my God.
On Building Network now. But yeah, I mean, it's the name of the game, man. Your relationships are who you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so your network is your net worth. You're the avenue of five people you spend the most time with. And the bottom line is most people just don't take it seriously. Or maybe they do take it seriously, but they don't realize that it has to be done on purpose. They think that it's going to happen on accident. And that it's just kind of something that happens organically. And if you're not purposeful about it, then it's going to be like anything else that you're not purposeful about, which means it's going to be random. And something that big, I just don't believe you should leap up to fate or leave up to random happenstance. Like, it's that big of a deal if you're not working that important. You probably work on it and make sure that you're putting yourself in a position to succeed.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And I got to tell you, going into this interview, I felt beyond elated because, not sure if you've been able to listen to my previous episodes, but I usually format the show by initiating each episode with my favorite tips on the topic of discussion, of course. And I will have you know, my personal and favorite 6 tips on networking were part of your 11 most important tips as discussed with your guests. Right. So as you can imagine, I was like, yes, I'm doing it all right along. Thanks to my, you know, my upbringing, especially my dad, you know, who I just unfortunately lost to COVID, who instilled those ideals in me. Yeah, man, it's been a rough one, but nonetheless, I keep his legacy going, which is a great segue into question number one. And I know this is a loaded question, Travis, but let's face it. You've interviewed some serious cats in the networking game, like, you know, Amy Porterfield, Pat Flynn, another one of my biggest mentors in the podcasting realm, who all have undoubtedly given you nuggets of advice on networking. But what would you say, if you could only choose 3 specifically geared toward musicians that you would recommend they implement in their careers as an artist right now?
Oh, man, 3 of them. The first one, I feel like go ahead.
No, it's a loaded question, I know, but I figured, you know, there's got to be your go-to ones, you know, that you could definitely isolate from the top of the list.
Yeah, man, I feel like the very first one, I would be remiss if I didn't mention. It's basically learn how to add value. Value is the cornerstone of every relationship that exists in your life. You know, marriage, relationship with your kids, if you're a parent, or your parents, or your grandparents. Like, every relationship that we have is basically built on value.
Right.
And it usually means that there's some sort of reciprocal value. So what I always tell people is that your network will grow in direct proportion to the amount of value that you can add to other people. So you have to focus on not only how can I add value to this individual, but also how do I become more valuable as a person in general? How do I become somebody that other people want to connect with rather than always having to be the person to go out and try to connect with other people? And so that'd be the first thing that I would say is learn how to become a person of value. And, you know, that sounds kind of vague. So just a couple of tips on that.
Right.
Value could be a number of things. It could be volunteering your time. It could be knowledge or information that you have that other people don't have, right? It's especially as a musician, it would be knowing your craft and becoming really skilled at the thing that you do really well, those types of things, right? But at the same time, there's a ton of people who are really great musicians who never get discovered and who spend their entire careers under the radar.
Sure.
Because they didn't learn the other pieces of the equation. So you have to know your craft. That's another thing, but you could also, like, something valuable could be your own network, the connections that you have, in your sphere, in your space. Right. So, the first thing is to learn how to add value and do it without expecting to get anything in return. That's the biggest thing is you got to be a giver. You got to be someone that adds value to other people's lives without expecting them to go do something for you.
Right.
It just has to be this altruistic giving personality without letting people stomp all over you, right? There's a little bit of a caveat there. You can't be one of those people that puts on, you know, the person next to you's oxygen mask on the plane, right? You have to put yours on first. You got to take care of you.
I use that all the time, bro. I use that all the time. That's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, we're cut from the same cloth on that philosophy. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really, but you have to make sure that you take care of yourself as well. You can't only look out for others. But my point is live in an abundance mentality when it comes to the things that you have to offer. So first thing is give value.
Love it.
The second thing that I would say would be to be purposeful about it. So literally make a list, like actually make a real list of people that you're trying to connect with. And you might not even be able to fill out a bunch of names on a list. And if that's you, then maybe you should do some more research on social media, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and find more people that the people you want to connect with all follow and connect with, and that you see them doing collaborations together, but you've never heard of this other person. Great, add that other person to your list. you know, and for someone like a musician, this would be like the movers and shakers in your industry. Like, who are the gatekeepers? Who are the people that are at the door, right? Again, I'm not in that space, but I'm just making things up right here just to kind of use as an example. But I would assume there's probably a lot of labels and producers and people that can actually put you on stage with somebody that's a much bigger name than you are. So you can kind of, piggyback on that.
Definitely always gatekeepers out there, especially in this industry. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So got to make a list of all those people and have something on purpose in your strategy that makes you go out and connect with those people. So be purposeful about it. Make a real list of all the connections that you want to have in your space. And then lastly, this is the biggest piece of just insanely practical advice that I can give to anybody that's trying to explore their network. And that is start a podcast. Do exactly what Manny's doing right now on this show. It was easily the number one thing that I've ever done for my network is starting my podcast. And it was kind of a byproduct of it because, you know, it was ironic because my podcast is called Build the Network. We talk about networking relationship building on the show a lot. But it turned out to be the best connection tool that I've ever been able to use at my disposal. It's because it's the softest ask imaginable. Like, if you just try to like set up an appointment or grab a quote unquote virtual cup of coffee or like quote unquote pick somebody's brain on Zoom for 15 minutes, like all those people that you're trying to reach out to and connect with, they're all busy. They have busy schedules. They don't have a ton of time to just pop on random calls with a person that reaches out to them and asks for free advice.
Sure.
But if you have a podcast that's about the music industry or about, you know, music production or whatever, then that gives you an excuse to make a list of all the top music producers that you want to get in touch with and start reaching out to them and start booking them onto your show and interviewing them and asking them questions about it. So like it does a couple of things. It helps your knowledge, right? Because you're basically just getting free coaching from all these people on a 30, 45 minute podcast interview that you can publish to your friends and family. So you're also getting more and more connections in that space. And every time you connect with somebody else, you know, ask them at the end of the interview, hey, do you know anybody that in this industry that might be a good fit for an interview on my show? Oh, great. Cool. You mind making a quick intro for me? And now you're getting to know not just them, but the people in their network, which opens up their networks and their networks and their networks, if that makes sense. It just keeps going on down the line.
Absolutely.
When you do it the right way. So there's three tips for you.
Brilliant. Dude, that's genius. And you know what? I couldn't agree with you more on all these topics. And it's so true because essentially we musicians, we rely on our fans, our followers, our networking, you know, to get to that next level. And you know the adage, man, it's who you know and whatever, you know, the rest of the other deal. So it's definitely one of those things that you have to take into account. Now, question number two has to do with those that are not so adamant or reserved in their networking strategies. And I'm sure you've heard this, you know, Travis or Manny, I can't be like you. I just can't go in a room and illuminate and be the social butterfly. Like, how do you tackle someone who caters more toward the introverted side? And I say this because there's so many incredibly talented artists out there that can crush it on stage, don't get me wrong, but miss out on a plethora of opportunities because they're not reaching out or embracing their audience or those specific individuals that can take them to that next tier that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Those more introverted souls that really don't have that natural gift. Like, for example, you and myself, I can go into a room and just pick up a mic and be like, hey, what's going on? This is Manny or this is Travis because this is you. You know, this is who you are. But not everybody has that boisterous attitude.
So kind of tips for introverts.
Yep.
That are looking. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to probably shock you with this one.
Shock me, brother. Shock me.
I am very much an introvert.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm very much an introvert. So I actually believe that introverts make the best networkers around because extroverts have a tendency to go a mile wide and an inch deep. And introverts have a tendency to find one or two people and go really deep with those one or two people. And a lot of times that's actually the better way to network, because you're developing a deep connection with somebody rather than going around and just trying to shake as many hands as you possibly can in the next hour before people go home.
Right.
So, a lot of times it can be more profitable use of your time to find the people that are your people and have deeper conversations with them. And again, another reason I think that introverts are better at networking is introverts typically don't like to talk a lot about themselves. And in a networking situation, that's a much better thing. You know, like people will never remember what you say, but they'll always remember how you make them feel. And so when you have an interaction with somebody, it's not necessarily your job to you know, spew all of your accomplishments at somebody. In fact, that's probably just going to give them a bad taste in their mouth for you rather than a good taste in your mouth, even if you have impressive accomplishments. The way to impress people at events like that is impress upon them, meaning that you want to make them feel good about themselves. So it's your job to just ask good questions. Like whenever I meet somebody at a networking event, even if I'm tired as hell, it's been a long day and I have a drink in my hand, I'm just trying to relax, but I know that I need to do this. But I know I need to be at this, you know, cocktail mixer or whatever it is. Then I'm gonna do my best to engage with people, make eye contact with people. So they come up to me, right? You stand in a high traffic area, like by the bar, then people are going to be walking by you all the time. And all you have to do is kind of look up and make eye contact. You know, throw a little, have open body language. Don't cross your arms or any of that kind of stuff. Have open body language. It says like, hey, I'm down for a conversation.
Right.
A lot of times people will start the conversation with you. And then all you got to do is just be good at asking some questions, right? So ask them, you know, where they're from. Ask them how they heard about this event. Ask them, you know, how they know the person that brought them, if somebody brought them, or how they know the person that's speaking, or who was their favorite speaker that day. Or, you know, what type of music do you do? Are you a producer? Are you an artist? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, you just want to be able to ask as many good questions as you can, to get them talking about themselves and make that person feel good about themselves. And then, you know, during the conversation, if they start asking about you, that's when you have an opening to make a conversation. And then once you're finished with the conversation, you guys about to part ways. Just make sure that you get a point of contact and then go ahead and move on to the next conversation. So introverts, in my opinion, are actually the better natural networkers. It's just that so many introverts believe that they're not because they are introverted. And as you know, like Henry Ford said, whatever you believe, you know, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
You're right.
Meaning that it's all in your head, right? Sure. So a lot of introverts get in their head about networking and they just avoid it at all costs because they're like, oh, I don't like being around people. It's like, well, look, I don't either. You know, I don't like being in those like cold networking situations where you don't know a soul in the room and you just have to walk up to some random person and start a conversation and then feel like you have to pitch them your product or service. Like, nobody likes doing that kind of stuff. But if you just treat it as like, hey, I'm at the bar with my buddies and you know, this is just somebody that has something in common with me and I can pick up a conversation, ask a couple of good questions and get them talking about themselves and get them opening up about themselves. I don't even have to say much. Except for at the end when I get their contact info. It's like, hey, would it be best to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook or, you know, like email, phone number? What's the best way to connect with you? Because I'd love to stay connected.
It's too funny because I never would have thought of it that way. And I've always erred on the side of inclusion. You know, I've always liked to learn more about the people prior to me delving into the situation, want to know who I'm up against, you know, like, especially for sales. I remember we were trying to get an account for Enterprise when I got out of college. Nobody would approach the Mercedes-Benz. So what did I do? I found out why. Apparently the guy who was the head dealer for the sales team, you know, he was a really hardcore, serious German guy, you know, that very stern, no element of comedy in his face whatsoever. He had a constant grimace, but the guy loved boats. You know, he loved his dogs. He loved fishing, so I took that approach, talked about things that he, in reality, really enjoyed discussing, you know, and I became more of a friend to him, a relationship, and then toward the end, we didn't even talk about why I was there in the first place, so I basically let him speak, and you are absolutely correct. I hate to say it, but a lot of people love to hear themselves talk, and sometimes to the point of nauseam, which could also lead to conceit. People can misinterpret what you're trying to say, but when you include people in your conversation, it's certainly a way to break the ice, if you will. So yeah, absolutely, man, 100% dead on that one. Let's get to question number 3 so you can get back to work. I got one more after this. You got some time, right?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So question number 3 is a little bit more personal. You know, it's kind of a 2-part question. And part 1 is, when did you decide, or better yet, why did you decide that creating this incredible curriculum of networking was going to be your purpose? Like, was there an epiphany at some point? Because I know many of the decisions that I made either came out of hardships, desperation, or inspiration. And part 2 of that question is, Knowing what you know now at the stage of your career in the voluminous amounts of knowledge that you have attained from your own life experiences and from your guests, what would you tell the 20-year-old Travis to do differently, you know, on his trajectory of success early on? Is there something that you wish you knew back then? And
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So please tell me
definitely.
That.
So first off, I wish I had a cool story about the networking course and training that I put out there. But honestly, it was just because it made a lot of sense. You know, we'd already built up a podcast audience based around that topic. And so that was kind of just the next step. You know, I was just like, well, how do we help people out even further with like a real curriculum that stacks on, you know, the lessons stack on each other and, you know, stuff like that. So that really was just born out of necessity. It wasn't really any sort of like epiphany or anything that I had with that one. If I could go back to my 20-year-old self, I know I kind of already mentioned this, but I'm going to cheat and use it again because it's 100% what I would, it's like the thing that I would do if I could go back in time to my 20-year-old self. Because, you know, when I was 20, that would have been 2012.
Well, you're like 23 now, right?
No, 28. But yeah, so 2012, I was 20 years old.
Right.
And I would 100%, if I could go back, start a podcast.
Nice.
Back in 2012, man, for so many reasons. But, you know, one of the reasons I didn't mention earlier is that I believe it's one of the best discovery tools at your disposal if you're a young person.
Right.
If you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and you have any doubts in your mind about what you're doing with the rest of your life, start a mother freaking podcast because, so I have a software company now that you alluded to that we're raising capital for, and it's been like a cool, fun, wild ride. I would have never gotten into software had I not first gotten into podcasting because now I've had conversations with hundreds of entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders, authors, all of the above. And I've gotten glimpses into so many different worlds and industries, and business models. And so, after seeing so many different things, I just looked at software and I couldn't get my mind off of it. And then one day I finally had an idea that we could turn into a software. And I was like, all right, let's go for it. Let's try this thing out. But I wouldn't have had that insight to understand that that's where I wanted to go had I not had a podcast to begin with. Wow. Not to mention if I would have started one when I was 20, that was back in 2012 when there was like, you know, 3,000 total podcasts or something stupid like that.
Dude, can I tell you something? I kick myself in the ass all the time. And I'll tell you what, I worked for Apple for 8 years. This is like pre-iPhone age. Okay. This is when podcasts, when Apple didn't even know what the hell we're going to do with podcasts. They just, all right, you know, put a podcast and post it up there. So I can't tell you how many hundreds of people I used to teach how to do a podcast. And I wish, dude, I mean, you completely utter the words out of my mouth. Like I wish, if I knew then what I know now, I would have definitely joined them in that journey of podcasting. But you know what they say, better late than never, man. You know, it wasn't my time.
I don't think that we're necessarily out of the growth curve. You know what I mean?
No.
Like there's across 2 million total podcasts, only like 700,000 of those are active.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's 35 million YouTube channels. There's a 500 million blogs. There's a 500,000 books that come out every single freaking year.
Yeah, man.
Like, podcasting is still, you know, I mean, look at every other platform. TikTok is almost at 1 billion people.
It's insane.
Instagram is over 1 billion people. Facebook is 2 billion people. YouTube
it's relatively
is 2 billion
new,
people.
Too.
Yeah, it's crazy that like podcasting is still less than 1 million active podcasts that are out there.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw this, but Facebook.
Yeah,
is
man. Oh, dude, I'm all
out
over
with
it.
Their own podcasting app. Yeah.
Look, well, what about Apple and their subscriptions? It's insane. There's so much going on.
And Spotify too. Yep. Spotify's and their subscriptions. And they're estimating by the end of this year that Spotify, for the first time ever, will take over as the number one podcast listening app in the world. But I think that they will soon be eclipsed by Facebook because they're going to open up podcast discovery and directories to their entire 2 billion user database. It's just going to open up that world to everybody that didn't know what a podcast was before. Like, especially, you know, anybody that's like over 40 that was just like, ah, screw podcasts, I'll listen to XM or FM radio.
Right.
You know what I mean? And but they're on Facebook now, right? Because they have to be.
Sure.
So those people are going to start discovering podcasts on Facebook and be like, wow, this is so much better, and then abandon all those other things. And like, man, if you ask me, I think that the podcast listenership in the world is probably going to double or triple thanks to Facebook's announcement. And they will probably become the number one podcast listening platform in the world, you know, within 2 years.
And you could embed your player there. I mean, there's so many renovations that they're doing right now. So it's really interesting how they're going to unleash all this. So I'm definitely, you know, my heart is in my chest because it's really exciting. But, you know, that element of uncertainty still holds me back. Like, it's almost like when I tell people, don't do the update yet. Wait till all the quirks get out, you know, and then do it and find out what the consensus is. So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the developments, you know, but it's really exciting. And you're right. People, we had this conversation on Clubhouse not too long ago. There's 2 million podcasts, but there's so many that are just completely stagnant. So that number has been extremely exaggerated. So there's so much potential out there. And if you have great content like yourself and like what I'm trying to do, there's a huge opportunity to build your brand, build your status, build your name in the industry. So yeah, man, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, let's just dive into question number 4, unless you want to add something else to that.
No, I mean, I could talk about that all day.
Yeah, you and me both.
Want to make sure we get what your audience came for.
There's no introverted posture with respect to what we're just talking about. Yeah, man, it's huge. But
yeah.
So we finally come to the last question, sadly enough. And of course, my trademark question, which is, what's your mojo, bro? Like, why do you keep generating episodes upon episodes of networking and typical, you know, oriented material? And where does that inner drive stem from? And as an aside, I always ask this question because I get an array of strategic answers filled with so many amazing and personal components that not only do I find fascinating, but motivate me as well to keep my career and my passions to keep creating and educating and inspiring like yourself. Like, the loss of my dad gave me the biggest kick in the ass, Travis, when I tell you to take it up another notch. And I was already hustling, so I don't want to have that woulda, coulda, shoulda mentality hovering over me.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Or even worse, living the winter seasons of my life in regret. And I remember because obviously part of your Facebook group, which I love, man, what you're doing to the podcast community is just brilliant. I'm there, you know, you're sharing reviews and all the, you know, amongst the myriad of other things that you're servicing. But you posted one of my favorite quotes from Marcus Aurelius. And I hate to sound like a troll, but I just love what you post. And the quote goes as the following. It isn't ceasing to live that you should be afraid of. It's never beginning to live properly. So that certainly resonated with me. And I knew at that point I was invested in whatever you were selling, right? So,
yeah.
So tell me, man, like, what is it that keeps Travis Chappelle podcasting, you know, to the best of his ability?
Sure. So there's a couple of things, man, and I appreciate the kind words. So kind of a similar experience happened to us a few years ago. It wasn't my dad, but it was my wife's dad who passed away.
Right.
And he was 53. Sorry. And I was, obviously, like, as you know, very, you know, not something that you really count on or plan for.
Of course not.
Young, you know, he was 53 years old at the time and was just out of the blue. And we spent a couple weeks in the hospital with them. And then by the time we left, he had passed. And I had watched the whole thing unfold, and that was one of the big moments in my life where I really got like a reassurance. Like, before, I always had ambition to do things, and it was always kind of a selfish ambition. Like, I just want to accomplish these things,
of course.
But then the ego kicks in.
I get it.
Yeah, sure. But then when that happened, it was like, man, there's a deeper reason to do this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was really just about like, and not to throw any shade at all to my father-in-law, he was a great guy, but there just weren't a lot of people that were at the hospital. And that was one of the big things that I was like, man, if I were actually on my deathbed, I would want to just have an impact on the lives of so many people that there's a line out the door to visit me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I wanted so deeply to be able to add value to the lives of so many other people that they can't help but be there for, you know, my final few moments. And so that was one big thing. The second big thing that happened to me was becoming a dad, which is, you know, totally world rocking type of an experience. And so that's the other big, one of my biggest whys, man. It's like, I believe that people are pretty much capable of anything that they decide to take action on if they are willing to put in the work and find the right information and mentors to help them get there. And I'm going to say everybody's parents tells them they can be whatever they want, but obviously some parents aren't good parents
and, 100%,
and aren't present in their kids' lives. But, sure. A blanket statement, like everybody says that, but not many parents actually live it.
Right.
They'll sit there all day long and tell their kids, you can do anything you want to be. And it's like, but then they look at their parents and their parents are working a 9-to-5 that they absolutely hate. They've been doing it for 25 years. And it's like, well, you're not showing me that I can be anything that I want to be. You're just telling me.
Right.
And that type of that's not like ingrained in them as something that they see as possible because, their parents came from a similar life situation and they're making the best of it and doing their best to raise them. And I'm not trying to throw shade at those people, but all I'm saying is that that's one of my biggest reasons why I do what I do is because I never want my kids to look at me and be like, but why didn't you do that, Dad?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, why? Like, how come you aren't living the life that you dreamed of? If you're saying it's possible for everybody, then how come you didn't do it? And I just know that I would never have a good answer for that.
100%.
It's like the only real answer would be, oh, I wasn't willing to put in the work, or I wasn't willing to take the risks, or I wasn't willing to sacrifice. And what a lame answer to have.
Your kids
sort of frame that question to you,
It
really
is.
That's another huge reason for me, man. And then the very last thing is always the rocking chair test that I go back to. I think this comes from Tony Robbins, but basically you're at the end of your life. You're 90, 95, 100 years old, whatever, put an age on it. You're sitting on a rocking chair on your front porch. At this point in life, like what you were talking about, this is where you're at the point where you can't do anything to change the way that you decided to live the majority of your years.
Right.
You're at the end. Best case scenario, you have another 3, 4, 5 years, but they're definitely going to be not great years in terms of, the quality of life that you have.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to look back on and regret not doing or regret doing?
Like, it's a pretty deep statement when you think about it. It really is.
Yeah. And I can't get that scenario out of my head, man. Like whenever I come across like this software project, like this is a huge project that I'm working on. And to be honest with you, I'm frankly not qualified to be working. I've never been in software before. Like I don't have a degree. I don't have an MBA. I don't have a degree in engineering. I don't even know. Like how to code a website. Why am I in software at all? It's just like, I just know that if I look back on this moment, I'll always wonder what would have happened if I did that thing? You know what I mean? And then understanding that like, if I fail, when I'm 90 sitting in my rocking chair, I'm not going to give a shit.
Exactly.
That I failed at a software startup when I was 28 years old.
Exactly. Well, and to add to that, man, look at Gary Vee. Like Gary Vee nailed it. And this is a philosophy that I had not known. I should have put a podcast out together because there's so much information that I grew up with learning and acquiring from dealing with a diverse amount of customers, my dad, my upbringing, strict upbringing, appreciating everything you love. And Gary Vee said, listen, I don't know anything about anything half the time, but what I do know is I know how to outsource. And why waste your time on something that you don't know when you could either hire someone to do when you could focus on your passion, but still be part of the project and make the most out of it, get the best results by getting the best people to be in alignment with your idea. That speaks volumes, man. And just because you don't know anything, let me tell you, you're at the apex of everyone's interest because you're going to guide them. And that's what leaders do, bro. You're a leader. So, it's guiding your team into having that product come to fruition and to reciprocate the passion that you have in the idea by taking care of your employees, by, motivating them, appreciating them. There's so many things, man, that you need to do and need to learn how to do as a leader, man. And I think you've covered the spectrum. I mean, you got enough education from how many people in your life? Christ. Dude, if you don't know by now, man, I don't know what to tell you, Travis. But yeah, man, listen, that's incredible. And as I said, I could sit here and talk with you all day about your excursions to, to growth, but I'm going to wrap this up. And before you go, please, importantly, how does my audience find you if they want to maximize their networking capabilities as well for a more quote unquote prosperous career and above all life?
Yeah, definitely, man. You can, whatever podcast app or player, whatever you're listening in right now, just open it up and search Build Your Network and just subscribe right there. We got, like I said, almost 600 episodes now with some of the top entrepreneurial and other really outside of entrepreneurship space guests in the world. So, and we talk a lot about relationship building and how to do it the right way. So if that's something you're curious about, then go check out Build Your Network, and I'd love to hear from you on how you like the content that we're putting out over there.
Yeah, man, that archive that you have of guests, man, that's so intimidating, but so beautifully inviting at the same time. So believe me, I've been keeping up with you, and, you know, I delve into it from time to time. But listen, bro, you are certainly a rock star in my book. So keep inspiring, keep doing amazing things, because believe me, we're all grateful for it. And I know sure as hell I am. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for sharing your, you know, your passions with my audience. And make sure you tell Jacqueline and Cassidy and the other little one that we thank them for letting us borrow you for a few, and certainly I got to get out to Vegas, bro. I have so many friends out there to perform, and perhaps we can catch some coffee and finish this conversation, brother. You know, I got nothing but love for you, and I appreciate your time, Travis.
100%. Thanks a lot, Manny. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, brother. Have an amazing day and keep inspiring.
Yes, sir. You do the same.
Take care.
This has been a Mojo for Musicians podcast. If you're a musician, producer, engineer, or any other industry professional wanting to share your mojo and stories of success with our listeners, or just want to share some feedback on today's episode, we'd love to hear from you. So just send us an email at info@mannycabo.com. Thanks for listening.